the spoiler-filled review of Sorry to Bother You, starring a bunch of folks you may know, some you may not know. First being Lakeith Stanfield, Tessa Thompson, Armie Hammer, Terry Crews, Steven Yeun, Omar Ree Hardwick, Danny Glover, Patton Oswalt, and David Cross. So if you haven't watched this movie, you should definitely put it on pause because I'm about to spoil the crap out of this movie. I found a synopsis on Rotten Tomatoes. It's pretty lengthy, so let's get to it. In an alternate present-day version of Oakland, black telemarketer Cassius Green discovers a magical key to professional success, which propels him into a macabre universe of power calling that leads to material glory. But the upswing in Cassius's career raises serious red flags with his girlfriend Detroit, a performance artist and minimum wage striver who secretly parts of a Banksy-style activist collective. As his friend and co-workers organize in a protest of corporate oppression, Cassius falls under the spell of his company's cocaine-snorting CEO, Steve Lith, who offers him a salary beyond his wildest dreams. Yeah, that's exactly what this movie is about. For the most part, this movie is a pretty decent movie, and it's pretty fresh in its kind of aspect of scripts and whatnot. So the good about this is the fact that Steven Yeun is in this. I love his character, to be honest. I love it whenever he's on screen because his personality oozes through his character, which is a great personality. It really is. Terry Crews, amazing. I love every time he's on the screen as well because he always makes me either laugh or give me some kind of emotion, which I definitely do love. Everyone else does such a great job as well. The script is something that isn't fully original, but original enough to where you're kind of surprised. So the aspects that it covers is definitely something that it draws my attention for real. When they're talking about the telemarketer world and when they're trying to bring folks into it properly, I kind of get a vibe of the Waiting movie. And also, I'm trying to think, Waiting meets kind of like a, what other movie can I say it kind of describes me of? But it definitely brings you into the world of telemarketers. And I really do like the vibe of it. It really is. It's one of those things where not many folks are doing it now these days. A lot of folks are doing remakes and reboots and everything's fully unoriginal. It's just a carbon copy of what came out not too long ago, or they're trying to make something that expands the one universe of its own self. So it's kind of cool that something is taking a risk that wants to go out there. It feels like a passion project more than anything, which, you know, isn't a bad thing. Sometimes you do need those passion projects out there to, you know, spark your interest of sorts. So Lakeith did a great job in his portrayal of Cassius Green, or Cash, as they call him. So it shows his mentality, his mind state. You know, he really wants to make things better for his surroundings and the people that he loves and such. So that's a great little outcome for that one. What's bad about this movie is the fact that it is kind of cliche, to be honest. From start to finish, you kind of know what's going to happen, except for when it gets to three quarters of the way in, which I'm going to talk about in a second. It needs its own little section for me to talk about. Most of the movie, from the first three quarters, is kind of like on the button nose of what you exactly think of this movie. It starts off with him, you know, being a bottom, and then he slowly but surely gets to the top. Meanwhile, he sells out most of his friends. That's basically what it comes down to, which it happens quite often in these kind of movies because, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles for the most part. Which it's kind of but kind of not the best. The whole aspect between the Detroit character and Squeeze character, that felt weird as well, just because She just jumped on him real quick. It was not long that there was that Cassius was separated from Detroit that she actually went to squeeze his character. But you can also tell that they're going to hook up anyway because they had like a weird kind of vibe from jump. So it was kind of weird how that came about. The whole, now let me talk about the last quarter of the movie, which kind of threw me for a loop. The whole horse thing, it was a weird aspect. If I was an executive and you came to me with this story, I would have said, all right, first three quarters, I love it. Definitely love it. And you came with the horse thing, I'll probably be looking at you like, huh, so you want horses? Why exactly? It feels like a weird aspect to try to jump into it. Why horses? So, of course, they want to do the whole horses have, you know, a stronger capability of making things happen. Now, why just do ants? Because ants could, you know, lift that bigger size thing of your body. I'm guessing because, you know, Marvel decided to say, all right, ants are our thing now. You can't talk about this stuff. But, yeah, horses. That threw me for a loop when that was introduced. I kind of had to wipe my eyes a little bit. I was like, what? Horses? What? Horses. Is this one of those things where, I gotta say it again, horses. They have horses in here. Man-made horses. So basically, it's a weird aspect. And then the whole thing with Cassius turning into a horse at the end, you saw the heck coming as well, because the whole blow, he's snorted up, which is like, it's another PSA. Don't just sniff anything that's on the table. You should definitely ask questions first before you actually do it, because now, you know, you became a horseman. I'm just saying. So that's a lesson to you, Cassius. You know, sorry, brother, but you had to be sacrificed. And in that aspect, or retrospect, he becomes the leader that Stephen Lift, Armie Hammer's character, he wanted him to become a leader, which, of course, he was like, no, I'm not trying to do that, X, Y, and Z. But he ended up just being the leader anyway towards the end. So just, it was kind of very cliche when it came down to that, too. It just spelled out cliche-ness left and right for me. Besides that, there's not much else that's bad about this movie, except for that the Danny Glover cameo, just, it felt kind of weird, just because he wasn't in for long. He was in for like a couple of scenes and he was gone, which I kind of wish they had more of his character, because in the trailer, he seemed like he'll be a dominant force in the movie. Just because he taught Cassius how to, you know, speak better, speak with a convicting voice. Is it convicting voice? Probably not convicting voice. Speak with a better, you know, tone with the customers to get what he wants from them. So I thought he'll have more stuff to say besides those couple of lines. And he was in the middle a little bit more. So I wish they had more of Danny Glover. That's what I'm trying to come out with. Besides that, things that I would change. So my hypothetical, of course, I'll change the whole horse thing. The horse thing threw me for a loop, to be honest. I really wasn't expecting the horse feature to come in. And I think folks that watch the movie will get thrown because of the horse aspect was put into it. And you kind of didn't need it. They could have done something else. I'm not sure what they could have done, but the whole horse thing, it was weird, and I'm good with not having horses in my movie, especially man-made horses that are like semi-scimitar, but not really. It was a weird aspect to fall into. It was one of those things where it was a last-ditch effort to put into a movie to shock you, which it did. It shocked me for real, but it just took me out of the movie in general. So that is my review of Sorry to Bother You. Please let me know down below if you enjoyed this review. If you didn't, let me know as well. I love all feedback. You can find me on social media, all social medias basically, at Dwight Antc. That's DwightAntc. Again, that's DwightAntc. And I'll catch your viewers next time.